Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Chop Sports Daily, coming to you live from the Flipping Made Easy studio right here in Matawan, New Jersey. Beautiful Matawan, New Jersey. And I'm going to give another shout out to Matt. Well, it's not really Matawan, but a new gym that I started attending. It's not Matawan. It's Cliffwood, which I thought was even... Is that the same thing as Cliffwood Beach?
I guess.
The same area? I don't know. In any event, new gym, new me, right? So I'm excited about that. Sturch and Gooch are in the house. And of course, in the house as well, Dina the Pick Bish is here. And of course, our intern Anthony back in the house as well. So we are here and we're ready to rock and roll and rage right now, because there's plenty to get into, including the MLB Hall of Fame voters, who have all old hacks and they all need to give away all of their credentials and all that shit. And I'm not about to get into it yet, because we will. We're going to get into that later on. I will start off by saying, promote the network a little bit. Brand new podcasts are available right now. Go check out the goddamn Jets with John Saponaro, Kim Cantoni. Is the third host that they have.
Tim?
Ah, shit. That's my fault. I'm so busy.
Look, he's been there for what, a week?
No, he's been there for about three episodes. But in any event, goddamn Jets, go check it out. Also, the arrival of the Jersey Boys podcast to the Chop Sports Network. I was up till about 11:30. This is what happens when you podcast with guys that are in Vegas and are in California. You got to wait for them to be done with their daily stuff. And all of a sudden, I'm just like, sure, I'll start recording at 10 o'clock at night. Why not? So I was doing that. So I didn't really get to see anything or watch anything. Basically do anything as soon as I got home. I didn't really get to do anything. But you told me as soon as you walked in, did you see this? Did you see that? And I did not. But that's the Antonio Brown.
Interview.
Wonderful.
It was like Antonio Brown's lawyer's interview.
It's funny because he was on the fan on the way home. I listened to Greg.
Well, he's making his rounds. Obviously, Look, Antonio Brown, he's the newest member of the Baltimore Ravens in his own mind. I know everybody saw the news that he said that he would like to play with Lamar. We might have touched on that.
We did a little bit yesterday.
But Antonio Brown's making his rounds in the media. He did the HBO thing with Brian Gumbel, where obviously that's going to be what most people are going to see. I watched the clips. I didn't watch the actual interview.
Oh, okay.
So I want to correct you there.
I'm going to watch the whole thing just for shits.
Antonio Brown is basically the takeaway that I got, or the clip that I saw that I think is going to be pushed most by the media, is the $200,000 offer from the Tampa Bay Bucks after the whole incident took place from the general manager. They said that they had it in writing twice. For Antonio Brown to accept this money, go seek mental help, and don't try and spin this any other way. Now, the way that Antonio Brown camp is trying to spin this is that the Buccaneers were trying to actually paint him in a bad light, and that he doesn't have mental health issues. They're not doctors. He's just misunderstood. Quoted, Antonio Brown said, like, you know, I react emotionally to things differently than most people, and they just don't understand that. I think...
If you're misunderstood, and we're not doctors, but if you're misunderstood because of multiple things that have happened in your NFL career, then yes, there might be something wrong. However, $200,000, I used to have to pay $25 for a copay to go see my therapist. Like, why is it 200 grand to go see a therapist? So Dr. Phil, like, what are we doing here?
I would say that what it might have been some inpatient or outpatient type of rehab, where it might not have been like a 1 hour a week therapy session where you're going, you know, it's something that's
a little deeper than that, a little more
clinical, we'll call it. And they wanted Antonio Brown to just basically sit on the sidelines, according to him, basically sit on the sidelines and be a good boy until things played out. And ideally, I just think that...
So you saw clips, right? Because my brother's coming in saying that dude was higher than the sky. He couldn't stop smiling, and he was saying the interview was tough to watch.
Well, I mean...
Did he look wrong? Did he look off?
I wouldn't say that Antonio Brown ever hasn't looked high if he looked high yesterday, because he looked very similar to how he always looks to me. I'm not going to say he wasn't high, but, you know, I might be high right now, so I'm not going to talk shit about Antonio Brown if he smokes a little weed.
The gunge.
I don't think Antonio Brown, you could really take him as the source here, because obviously his lawyer is paid by him, so he's there to speak for Antonio. It looked like almost any time Antonio Brown was going to say something that he shouldn't have, there was like someone pulling on a chain behind him and saying, wait, don't say anything, and then he would defer to his lawyer. So,
wow.
I guess it was smart of him to have a lawyer there, because it at least looks a little more professional, because he kept Antonio in line a little bit.
Fine. But then, like, I listened to the interview on the way home with Carton and Roberts on the fan, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, do you remember that interview that Francesa did with Revis, where he, like, went at Revis, and then, like, all of a sudden another voice came onto the air and said, like, hang up the phone, Darrell. That was, like, Revis's agent. Like, this guy was, there was no Antonio Brown sighting. The guy was making his rounds saying, everybody tune into HBO. He was basically plugging the interview. But what really rubbed me the wrong way is when he said that, you know, Carton went out and said that, like, all right, this, you know, who takes their shirt off and their clothes off, and you can't question their stability mentally, right? Something's obviously wrong. And the guy went off. He's like, hey, listen, you know, he was asked to go in after a debilitating injury. Stop that nonsense, man. He ran off the goddamn field, skipped around, skipped to my Lou, my darling. Are you kidding?
There's a lot Stop. That doesn't make sense. And if he had such a debilitating injury and it was hurt and the MRI got and he had an MRI and there was broken bones or whatever you want to say he said he had, then where is the surgery? Where's the rehab? Where's
there is
the
no.
treatment? He didn't go into the blue tent. So you really can't take Antonio Brown's word for this.
Or his lawyer.
But at the end of the day, you know, I know how NFL franchises work, and they may have realized a little sooner than most that there's something pending here, one of his episodes. And I'm imagining that there is some fault on their side as well. I just can't see that Antonio Brown just got mad out of nothing, out of nowhere. I think that the reaction, I think what happened with Antonio Brown typically happens often throughout the league history, and he just isn't the guy to do that to because he's going to fly off the handle. But, I mean, I don't think Antonio Brown will be playing for the Ravens next year at the end of the
day. I don't think Antonio Brown's going to be playing anywhere next year. And if some team is willing to take a chance on Antonio Brown after all of this, then you don't obviously care about your franchise's image. You just don't.
Who was it that posted the meme? The funny-ass meme with Antonio Brown, the newest.
Pickpish.
Oh, it was you.
Dina posted it. Yeah, so she's prominent over in over at the Chop Sports Group. Yeah. So, as Scoop's coming in saying,
could you at least XFL say what year. The meme was so the listeners know? Because I'm going to do it no justice.
Oh, no. It was basically saying, like, the Antonio Brown has come to terms to be the newest member of the Baltimore Ravens. However, the Baltimore Ravens have not come to terms with that. Yeah. Like, or something, or they didn't agree. It's so like in his Antonio head, he's like, Brown I'm a Raven. And
agrees,
he's like, no.
Agrees to join Ravens. However, the Baltimore Ravens have not agreed to bring in Antonio Brown.
Right. Anyway, guys, if you're watching this video right now here on the Chop Sports YouTube channel, be sure to like the video, okay? Or Ashley will kill you. Yeah, so there it is. Like the video. So like the video. Make it match up to all the views that we're getting here throughout the course of the day. Some people don't watch it live. The other day, Monday show, like, dude, misery. They love miserable people. Yeah,
we could call it a little bit of misery. We'll call it some algorithm luck.
Yeah, maybe because Monday show has taken off, and it's probably one of our highest non-Kyle shows that we've had as a network, as a
No, it is the highest. Mm-hmm. It's definitely by far the highest non-Kyle show.
What did I say? One of. Oh, yeah, that's the highest.
Then. We did decent with the Paz episode originally way back in the day, but that's been, you know, stacking likes and views.
So anyway, thank you guys for watching. We appreciate it. There's a lot to get into today. Obviously, we touched on Antonio Brown already. From one disgruntled guy to another one, it seems like, and look, I can't knock this too much because I'm a bitter Knicks fan, right? So the Knicks stink. They can't get the, you know, I believe that right now they're 3 games under 500. So now my shift and focus has gone to my New York Rangers, who just continue to win games. And I know Anthony's all happy about that, about the promising hockey podcast that never was. But don't worry, Ant, we'll get you involved with the hockey talk within this podcast, and this show. But James Harden. Okay, so you said it yesterday, Gooch, that there was some rumblings about him, or not, maybe you didn't say it, but we talked about it, about him not liking it
in Brooklyn.
Right. Turns out he doesn't like it in Brooklyn, and now you found out, Gooch, that it's kind of, there's truth behind this.
Well, yeah, I mean, he spoke to the press about it. He obviously, when all the rumors came out, and there was a lot of chatter, but none of it came from his mouth, and when that happens, you get asked, and he didn't deny any of it. He is unhappy, and he says he just wants to win. The issue I have with this is, look, you got brought in, I think it's less than a calendar year ago. You know, James Harden hasn't been a Brooklyn Net for that long. If maybe a little longer than a season ago, you know, if you actually looked at the math.
Right.
So for him to be upset with the way things are, I'm pretty sure the Nets are right now sitting at 2 in the East. I could be wrong.
Yeah, the Bulls have actually made a little bit of a surge.
Well, the Bulls were one.
Not the Bulls. Who was I thinking
Either
about?
Either way. The Nets aren't in a position where they're going to miss the postseason. I think with that roster.
The Heat. Sorry.
Fair. With that roster, you're looking to just gear up for the postseason. I understand that he didn't sign up for getting on board with the whole Kyrie situation.
That's a big factor, bro. That's a big factor.
When Kyrie's being the half man, half a season, and it's not necessarily Kyrie's fault, and we all know that I've been on Kyrie's side. as much as I want to thrash or bash James Harden for his take here, for his not wanting to be in Brooklyn, I think the issue that I have with it is the fact that it's so soon and it's not necessarily all lost and they haven't not won. He's only been there for one postseason. He's not wrong because he didn't sign up to go there. He signed up to go there to play with Kyrie and KD. And Kyrie's not able to play full basketball because nothing that Kyrie's deciding. So I don't know that he has a problem with, I mean, obviously Kyrie's deciding to not get vaxxed, but I don't know that he has a problem with Kyrie in that way, but just the way things are working basketball-wise, he has every right to be upset that the star player, the point guard, is not there.
Let's call it how it is. He left Houston to become a star, to link up with two other superstars, to be the new big three of the NBA. And we haven't, how many games, honestly, what have we played? 50 games maybe? How many games have they all been on the court at the same time?
I think it's getting, it's like a little over the halfway point.
Yes, we already went over that, but I'm saying, like, let's just call it 50
How many have they played on the
together.
Court together? The three of them, not many.
Right.
Right?
That's ridiculous.
KD was hurt. They were just banged up on and off all last year.
And that's fine, but I'm just saying, like, this is alarming. Like, this is what you signed up for. Harden, you're the one who literally faked fatness to get out of Houston. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, here comes the trade.
That's the other side of it, too, where he wants to be upset, but he hasn't exactly been the model citizen where he's been
not.
Before. And James Harden looks largely disinterested at times to me. I said this. He looks like he just, you know, some players look like they smoke weed before the games. Mm-hmm. James Harden looks like he's drinking Henny before the games. He's like, he looks shot out.
He's such a bad actor, too.
Good. Yeah, right. So a lot of this stuff has not come to fruition for this team. And I would say it's a shame, but I guess
now,
maybe.
Now, look, and I understand how the media makes a mountain of a molehill with a lot of these situations.
Sure.
I said this the last time I was talking shit about the Nets. You know, we act like the Nets are in peril. You know, the Nets are going to be there in the postseason. If they can manage to get these three guys healthy and on the court at the same time, for the postseason, they're obviously probably going to be favored to win the East. Still, I would like to look at Vegas odds right now. I'm imagining that Brooklyn's still the odds-on favorite out in the East.
A VIP has entered the chat, ladies and gentlemen. Pistol Production Pete McNally is in the ball game right now, and he said that it's embarrassing. Remember, he was so pumped last year. Remember, the Nets were just the team to beat, the team that they're going to steamroll through the playoffs, win the whole goddamn thing, and everybody's going to ride off into the sunset. The big three, we said it from Jump Street that it would never work. And it hasn't worked.
Well, so. it hasn't worked yet. It still can work. It still can work. I'm not positive that it will, but it still can.
I don't think it will. But
I don't either.
I don't know. According to this graphic, James Harden is mean mugging you. By the way, but I have to say awful. He is grilling Gooch on every single take.
Yeah, I haven't had many nice things to say about James Harden in the last couple of years, so I don't blame him.
There you go. Kyle's coming in. Two games. The Nets have played two games with all three of these guys.
Oh, I
on
thought
the court.
You meant just since their inception of this version of the Brooklyn
season,
Nets.
In particular, with Kyrie doing the vaccination shit and KD being hurt. And now it seems to me that as much as Harden wants out, he's the most reliable Net. He's out there every night.
Now, another.
That's concerning.
It is concerning.
Yeah. It is a little concerning. Yeah. The other thing that I'll point out is, like, you know, you clamor to go to the Nets and everybody's talking Nets, Nets, Nets. But if you look at the history of the Nets franchise, when have they ever done things right? It's only proving that they haven't.
Define
now.
Right, though. Because, like, what do you mean?
In terms, like, they haven't won much. Most of my life, they were
their
not
one
a good
big
team.
Run was the Jason Kidd, VC, all that.
They struck gold here and there, but they didn't get any titles out of it.
Correct.
The point being is, I've been on this planet for a long time at this point. The Nets haven't been good for most of my time, right? So all of a sudden they got these guys, and you would expect them to be able to figure it out. But if you look at the personalities, it just when I look at it, it doesn't make sense to me. You got James Harden more worried about hanging out with DaBaby in France.
DaBaby, by the way,
Kyrie Irving. Nobody knows what Kyrie Irving's thinking, and KD doesn't even put lotion on his
head. He's gonna spin right off the flat earth.
KD doesn't even wear lotion. He's the ashiest dude.
Oh my god, are we really getting
it? He hasn't gotten a haircut in his entire life.
Take care of your body.
Yeah, exactly.
You're living in gentrified Brooklyn, bro. You gotta get it together.
Seriously, you hip. Like, just get it together. One other thing, well, not with this. I'm done with this crap. They're also 2-0 in those games, undefeated with the big three.
So now let's get past. We had to talk about this because
we touched on it and then it got proven, right? Yeah. So that we're ahead of the game, sort of. exfoliate, man. That's what Scoop's coming in saying. Scoop, hope to have you back to talk more basketball this week, I would hope, right? I mean, we'll have to talk to you about getting your ass in the studio. So last night or yesterday, we talked about the MLB lockout situation. They made their counter. The proposal is back. Gooch, do you have any follow up with that? I know you said you're going to pull the Kyle Kerbs and look at your phone while you're recording, right, and that's so fine.
the Major League Baseball agreed to the union's proposal for the pool of players in their pre-arbitration years. Bonuses would be awarded to players who finish in the top 30 in WAR. So essentially, they agreed to put a bonus pool for players that are eligible for it to get more money in arbitration on top of that. So if you play well in your service time, whatever that might be, because they haven't decided on that yet, and you're in the arbitration system and you're eligible year after year for arbitration, you finish in the top 30, you'll get a cut of the bonus money. So there is money involved.
Interesting. It's always money involved.
They raised the minimum salary for the second year players and third year players and things like that. But largely,
where are we apart still?
They dropped its proposed changes to the arbitration system, so that's good. That's common ground. But long story short, MLBPA wants more money put into their pockets of the players early in their careers, and Major League Baseball is nowhere near the number that Major League that the players union wants. So we're back at a standstill. There's no plans to meet again, which I would imagine they're going to make plans to meet again very soon, because we're about 2 weeks out from pitchers and catchers at this point. So they got to get things going.
I mean, look, I think it's a foregone conclusion. We're going to miss some spring.
Look, there really wasn't much on this. There was a lot less than I thought there would be, being that it's after the second day of meetings. I'll do another deep dive, and if we have anything more, we'll talk about it tomorrow, just to keep the story going and keep everybody updated, because obviously more so we need baseball than more so than ever. Because
you and I specifically.
We need baseball to talk about it.
So. We do. But we will talk about both the NFC and the AFC championship games tomorrow. We'll cover the Bengals and the Chiefs, and we'll cover, by the way, that spread, my God. I mean, we'll make the picks on Friday, but there was a 7-point spread from what I saw yesterday. Are we just totally writing off Joe Burrow's ability to stay close? We'll talk about it.
Now that you mentioned that, I know that we're not going to talk about the games now, but I did put up a poll on our YouTube, which I was kind of messing around with the YouTube yesterday. I don't know if this is new on YouTube's part, but
where we have a community,
I want to start incorporating a little bit so we could get a little more interaction out of our listeners. But I'm going to put up polls, and this one is very basic. What's the question that you would ask going into this weekend? Who's going to win the AFC Championship? Who's going to win the AFC Championship?
So those polls are active right now on our YouTube channel.
This way we have our own version of the public, and what I'll start to do is I'll put up games of the week and games of the, game of the day, and have our people vote on it, and then we'll be able to fade our own public or not. This way, it kind of gives us a little more of an idea of where things are going.
We'll talk about the 49ers taking on the Rams for the third time this year. And, of course, we won't touch on the fact that Rodgers made his re-debut with the Pat McAfee Show yesterday.
Which was a great.
Great interview.
Great interview.
Great, great interview.
I don't know how anybody could watch that guy speak when it's not in the media forum. And, like,
there's
when
he's so
sitting
many
there talking
people
to his boys the way that interview was.
There's so many people that look at Aaron Rodgers and they're just like rooting for him to lose, but not for the right reasons. Like if you're a Vikings, Lions, Bears fan, you hate Aaron Rodgers because he's ruined your life, right? But even if you're a Dallas Cowboys historian, like you kind of don't like the Packers because you have some kind of rivalry. And if you're a 49ers fan, if Rodgers would have dethroned that, won that game, you would hate Rodgers, right? But like the other shit, man, you gotta stop. You just gotta stop. The guy's the realest dude. You know, if all the dudes are watching right now, and Dina's here, and of course there's girls that watch, Ashley's watching. But for all the dudes out there, he is like the dude's dude.
And he did not sound like a guy that was done playing football.
It's January, so we'll see how he
feels
later.
And he did touch on the fact that he's meeting with Brian Gutekunst next week. So that's a far cry from what was happening
last year, one week
after the season ended last year.
Exactly. Kyle coming in saying, I am coming with a Velociraptor hammerlock. Cannot miss. So Lean Fridays will be back on Friday for the NFL picks. We'll get into all that tomorrow, Friday. You know, myself and Gooch are both getting a little older. One of the first things to go is your vision. Thank goodness for our hookup over at Absolute Eyewear in Woodbridge, New Jersey, right on Main Street next to the train station. They have glasses for all ages, all budgets. They have safety glasses, sports glasses. They are a full-service powerhouse offering eye exams and even free lenses for the kids. They work with BCBS, AAA, AARP, giving massive discounts. They're open 5 days a week, closed on Wednesdays and Sundays. Call 732-326-3937 to get your first pair of Ray-Ban, Burberry, Coach, Polo, you name it, they got it. Go see Craig and Johnine right now. The meat and potatoes. The biggest story of the night happened at 6:15 last night. I literally wouldn't even, I was ready to jump in the shower and I said, no, I gotta wait. I gotta wait for this announcement. And then I gotta cool off because I knew I was gonna be hot about it. But driving home, Toast put in the group chat that Bonds had 77%.
And Clemens was right below.
And Clemens was right below, I think
it was 20 minutes before the final votes got submitted.
They were 20 minutes away because, look, it's just like the election, right? The votes have not been counted. Not all have been counted yet, right? And they have to kind of
I don't put it past the Major League Baseball and or the networks to fake like they were about to get in just to get the people up in arms because all this chatter that's going on right now, it's as much as it's bad press and, like, the public is not really on the side of the Hall of Fame. Am I missing something?
No. I had to adjust
it's,
the...
It's not really on the side of the Hall of Fame. They're still being talked about more than they have been in 6 months baseball, so...
Yeah, so anyway, last night's news, it breaks around 6:15, and that's David Ortiz is the only player in Major League Baseball to be elected to the 2022 Hall of Fame. First of all, bullshit. You know, like, enough is enough. While Ortiz's numbers are indeed Hall of Fame worthy. He's won championships. He's played good baseball. But let's call it how we see it, folks. The guy's never played the field. And I know that's not to discredit because it took Edgar Martinez a little while. And he was like a natural known DH in the prime of his career after he played third base. But like when you look at Ortiz, you don't even consider him in the field player, right? Can he rip the cover off the ball as a batter? Yes, right? We all saw that. He crushed the Yankees time and time again. He was a Yankee killer, right? We were thrilled when he stepped away from the game, right? And he retired. But to elect this guy on the first ballot after a decade of waiting for Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds, all these other guys that were linked to steroids, to put David Ortiz in the Hall of Fame on the first crack is going against everything you stand for the last 10 years. Yeah. That is garbage.
This whole thing, to me, look, I don't think that David Ortiz deserves to be in based off of him not playing the field and me being a Yankee fan. That's it. You know, I'm looking for reasons. I'm
fine. That's my reason for shilling.
At that point, I'm cherry picking. You get what I'm saying? I'm cherry picking reasons. But at the end of the day, if Edgar Martinez is in the Hall of Fame, 100% David Ortiz belongs in the Hall of Fame. Congrats to David Ortiz. He's actually one of the Red Sox that post-playing career is very likable, and that's why he's in. You got A-Rod not in. You got Bonds not on. Clemens, they're all jerk-offs. They're not in. Kurt Schilling, jerk-off, not in. Sammy Sosa, not in.
That should have no bearing.
Should have no bearing, but clearly it does. Now, the issue that I have here, and I guess you could just go on to the next graphic because we got two guys that I feel like, you know, you can't tell the story of baseball for my entire life without these two guys. Roger Clemens, the most Cy Youngs of all time. Barry Bonds, the best player that any one of us that's alive right now watching this show saw play baseball.
Correct.
People could argue with me all you want about Hank Aaron.
No, what we saw.
But like other people might be watching that have saw older players. You could make the case for certain guys, but Hank Aaron took greenies during games. That's basically illegal now. So it's a banned substance. It was legal then, but guess what? There was no ban on steroids when Barry Bonds was taking them. Was he ever suspended?
No.
Did he ever fail a test? I don't believe he did.
No positive tests.
Now, I'll make the case for Barry Bonds if I had to, but I don't, right? Same with Clemens. I just made their case. Greatest hitter that anybody ever saw.
You want comparable stats?
Most Cy Youngs ever. No. But I will say this. If you took away every single one of Barry Bonds' home runs, right, in his entire career and made them outs, it would be still, his OPS would still be higher than David Ortiz. That's not a knock on David Ortiz. That's just to point out how insanely good Barry Bonds was. He got walked with the bases loaded in the ninth inning by Buck Showalter.
By the new Mets manager.
Not some guy that doesn't know what he's doing. By Buck Showalter in the prime of his managing career. So yeah, Buck Showalter walked Barry Bonds with the bases loaded. Now I want to go on my little mini rant about these Major League Baseball voters and the Writers Association. You got a group of guys that are either A, really old, and they need to quite literally, and I don't mean this morbidly, but die off so that we could get this voting process fixed more so than it is now. But I still have issues with the young writers, which I'll get to in a minute. But you have a bunch of guys that probably never played the sport of baseball, at least professionally. And I don't say that that has to have, you don't have to have experience playing the sport to be able to cover the sport and to be a good analyst. I agree, right? And not that the players of old would be voting these guys in anyway, because they're the most bitter guys out of all of them.
Right.
But to have a group of guys that are protecting the sanctity of a game that has been riddled with cheaters since the beginning of time, all the way up till now with the spider tack and all that, like, what are you actually going to do about today's generation of pitchers? Is Gerrit Cole banned? Is these guys all banned? Because, or even better yet, and this is my gripe with the young voters, is it like, do you still have a power trip because you see a guy like A-Rod, who's like receiving 36% of the votes, when he's a clear Hall of Famer? The fact that Barry Bonds and all these guys are just gradually moving up, but then you see guys like Torii Hunter with 21 votes, Mark Burley with 23 votes.
Burley was eligible already?
Bobby Abreu Jesus with 34 Christ. Votes, Jimmy Rollins 37 votes, and one more with Sammy Sosa 73 votes, so I guess he deserves some votes. But you have guys that are just giving away votes to guys that they know aren't Hall of Famers. Why are you wasting your vote? It doesn't make sense. If you think A-Rod's a Hall of Famer, and you're going to say to yourself, you know what, I think A-Rod's going to get in, but I'm going to wait a couple years before I give my vote, then you're still on a power trip the same as the old guys are to me. Like, if you believe as a guy as a Hall of Famer, like David Ortiz, you might think he is, you're not supposed to be like, oh, I don't believe he's a first ballot Hall. Is he a Hall of Famer and you're voting on the ballot?
Then you punch it.
Is there five guys that you would put in the Hall of Fame before him? Then you leave him off. But if you look at him as a Hall of Famer and it's the first time on the ballot, then you're obligated to vote for him. In my opinion, you can't waste a vote on Mark Burley. I'm sorry, it just doesn't add up to me. Tim Lincecum got votes. You know, like, there's guys that got...
He's a playoff AJ, guy, but that's really it. I'm not comparable to the rest,
AJ Pierzynski got a vote.
That's a little crazy.
You get my point. I know I have something else and I don't want to miss it. What else do I got?
That was very well put, because it is true. Like, if
I
you
do have one more thing.
All right, go ahead, light bulb.
So, due to the fact, or in lieu of me saying that there's a bunch of guys protecting the sanctity of the ballot and the process, where were these guys when they changed the ballot from you being on the ballot for 15 years to 10 years, thus making it harder for everybody to get in? Because if you see the progression with even Schilling, Bonds, Clemens, like, eventually these guys would be getting in. So how many Hall of Famers got in? How many guys are in the Hall of Fame right now that got in year 11 through 15? They shouldn't be in. If the guys now can't be in after years 11 through 15, it just changes the entire process. So where was the protection of the sanctity of the process when they made that move? I'm curious. I don't know the answer. I'm sure nobody does. But
what I don't understand is there's a lot of guys that came onto the Chop Sports Facebook group yesterday while we were talking about this, because, again, it happened at 6:15 at night, so we're all just kind of chiming in from, like, 6 to literally this morning. A bunch of guys posted more shit this morning. So, obviously, big, heavily debated thing. But my thing is this. Why is it okay for these guys, like, the guys that are commenting, saying, like, well, they'll get in because of the next thing, or what was it, the committee or whatever the hell they were talking about? Like, that shouldn't be
a
thing.
But are you sure they will? I don't know. But I think the Veterans Committee might be harder to get in with the steroids thing about, because of the fact that it's a group of players that are still bitter about the fact that the players now are making a ton more money, and then they were doing steroids and breaking records and things like that. Like, older players, they might be the ones that have the case why they could be bitter, but they're not realizing that all those guys were cheating too. You know, like, you played in an era where guys were cheating. Guys were doing cocaine in the bullpen and smoking cigarettes and shit.
Shout out to the 86 Mets. But, like, that's true, though. You know, like, that's absolutely 1,000% accurate. Everything you said, spot on, right? But, like, what's the solve? Like, what's next for baseball? Like, have they lost all credibility whatsoever?
I told you what the solve is. It's quite literally the only solve to this problem is they have to die. And I don't mean that morbidly. I mean, like...
No. You mean that morbidly because they're not going to take their vote away until they're dead.
I equate these two, like, the voting process, and I'm not going to get political here, but it's like Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell, mm-hmm. where they've just been there forever, and they're archaic policies, and they're disconnected with what's actually happening right now.
Yeah.
They're out of touch. And a lot of these Major League Baseball writers protecting the sanctity of America's game, they don't realize that there is no sanctity. It's a competitive field where guys are trying to get an edge. That's been the way it's been since day one.
I'm pretty sure Mike Francesa still has a vote, right?
Case in point.
And I know for a fact he doesn't like Alex Rodriguez.
And honestly,
so that means he'll never get a Hall of Fame vote from Mike Francesa because of a personal grudge. That's bullshit. But here's the thing. You can't turn this over to the fan votes because then all these wacky random guys will get
fan votes is a joke.
But no, I'm saying, what's the solve? And it's not even the guys because are going to die off.
A-Rod wouldn't get in anyway. He's the most hated player in history.
What I'm saying is, like you even said, there was a big point too that even the younger writers out there and the younger voters, right, that they're screwing this up too. So how do you solve that? They're not going to die for 50 years.
It's not all of them. It's not all of them.
I know, because there was
a guy that even posted. You said it yesterday.
The one of the better tweets that I read was one of the guys who had a vote said, you know what, take the votes away from us because we suck at this.
Yeah, like we got to get this stripped.
Right, strip us of our vote because we can't do this. You did tell me that one guy, Clemens, came out and said that he's good, right? Like he don't give a shit. But it's like I feel like the fans and the media members might care a little bit more than Bonds and Clemens and because they made their money. They're good.
I mean, taking the high road, I think everybody saw how corny Curt Schilling looked last year when he didn't get in and he threw a hissy fit. So,
He's a bitch. So that's why he's a bitch.
I'm not here caping up for Curt Schilling in any way, shape, or form. And I'm not even caping up for Roger Clemens because if I'm being honest, I don't really like Roger Clemens either. I do like Barry Bonds. I always liked Barry Bonds. I had moments where I really liked Roger Clemens, but at the end of the day, I thought Roger Clemens was a piece of shit. So I don't really like the guy. But what's he going to say? I think he took the high road, and clearly Roger Clemens wants to be in the Hall of Fame. But I will say this. Roger Clemens did thank the voters that looked at the facts. So Roger Clemens is going to die on that hill.
Right.
He did not do steroids.
He wasn't the point. That was Rafael Palmeiro. He was the point. He was the, I did not do steroids. And he's sticking to it. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. But so it's funny. Kyle just said that he won't watch another game of baseball until Rey Ordóñez is elected into the Hall of Fame. The problem with Rey Ordóñez is he couldn't hit for shit. You know what I mean? Like, he can field, he can flash the leather, can't hit. So that, but then that's like the opposite.
So it's the opposite. It's the opposite of
Poppy.
David Ortiz. Yes.
Bizarre.
I mean, Omar Vizquel got a decent amount of votes, not enough to ever break that get over the hump. But Omar Vizquel, Torrey Hunter on the list. I you could make the case that they were arguably the best fielding players of the generation.
Yeah,
they're not getting any.
Sam Grasso came and said Francesco's ego is way too big to ever give up his vote, and that's the truth, and that's the problem. You know, that's where we're at. So now every year going forward, now that Bonds and Clemens and everybody's going to fall off the vote, the next argument to be made every year is A-Rod because he's clearly one of the better hitters and players in baseball history. And that's not me being a Yankee fan because he was ripping the cover off the ball as a Texas Ranger and a Seattle Mariner. So before he was even a Yankee, A-Rod was a Hall of Famer in my book. Same thing with all this steroid shit with Bonds. The guy was doing wonders in his career before all the steroid shit. He's a Hall of Famer. You know what I mean? So they were shut out and bullshit.
Shout out to the Toast because he sent me a clip yesterday of Roger Clemens facing Rodriguez in a playoff game, I believe it was, and Alex Rodriguez was still on Seattle, and the very first two pitches that he saw A-Rod, he threw right at him. And this
Roger Clemens was a dick.
There was no reason for it either. There was no history there. It was like, you're the best player on their team. You're 21 years old. You're getting thrown at, and Roger Clemens had like 15 strikeouts in that game. So,
dude,
Hall of Fame.
Again, clearly. Right? No. Can't put Roger in the Hall of Fame because he was mean. Like, that's where we're at. He wasn't good to the media. He wouldn't answer my question. Oh, so now what? I'm not going to vote for him for the Hall of Fame. This is so lame, dude.
All these guys deserve to be in, except Curt Schilling, because he's a bitch.
And he faked a bloody sock. So, in any event. Wow. So, look, that's obviously, it was the forefront of our attitudes going over overnight, because, again, heated. When it comes to opposite of Jeter. Oh, here we go. Ken Palmer's going to go in on Jeter, and that's
yeah. I think
whatever.
He's saying maybe A-Rod is the anti-Jeter.
Possibly, I don't know.
Either
sometimes,
way, I mean
that's fine.
People have their gripes.
Same thing.
With Derek
Jeff
Jeter.
Kent. I mean, nobody talks about Jeff Kent. He's a piece of shit. Like he never liked anybody, right? But he's not going to get into the Hall of Fame because of that.
Again, Jeff Kent might not have been a piece of shit. He might have just been like a normal guy that
who didn't want to talk.
Who saw the media as pieces of shit and didn't like them. Because the media, I would like to say, I would wager that the media is mostly wrong in all these situations, just judging by how things are going now.
A-Rod juicing since high school, according to Ken Palmer. Shut up.
Cares.
Yeah, really. Who cares? So is Ortiz. You're not going to hit the home runs that Ortiz did without a little bit of a performance-enhancing drug. But you know what's funny? I made this comment on the thread yesterday on Chop Sports, the Facebook group. Like, so basically, what you're telling me is Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time, right? That man was suspended for cheating. We should probably not put him in the Hall of Fame. You know, like, the NFL is just as, you know, just as impertinent.
I mean,
like,
yeah.
Than MLB. You know what I'm saying?
I think that there is garbage. Obviously is levels to this cheating thing, and I don't think, you know, the Brady thing was as egregious as, you know, injecting steroids into your body, but who knows if Tom Brady's on steroids.
Oh, another great one. Matt, it'd be coming in. Albert Bell. Remember that guy used to tear the cover off the ball. He actually kind of reminds me of Ortiz, you know, in the same type of violent swing, you know, like, shit, man. Another guy that just gets the shaft because he wasn't polite. I'm sorry, not all professional athletes have to be polite to you and sign your autographs and talk to you after the game. Like, shut up. Oh, my goodness. Anyway.
Yeah, Major League Baseball Hall of Fame has no credibility. Done. So I'm not going to be mad or happy about any of it going
forward. It's going indifferent. It
means nothing to me.
Going
it
forward,
literally means nothing to
going
me.
Going forward, it's indifferent because now we're going to sit back and fans of A-Rod are going to have to sit back and say, like, oh,
I really
I guess
don't
we
won't care. Get it. I'm not going to hang on the edge of my seat for A-Rod to get in or not. A-Rod seems pretty happy in life. Right?
I think he's doing all right.
Yeah.
I think he's doing okay. I think his investments are okay. I saw him on Shark Tank the other night. Are you kidding me? Imagine being that rich. Like, people on Shark Tank, we're willing to give you just all this money because we think your business might be all right. Where are you, Shark Tank? Come find Chop Sports. All right. One more thing before we wrap this up. And that's is a big, big thing because it broke yesterday, literally right after our show. And that is Sean Payton stepping down. He will not be returning to the New Orleans Saints, right? So there's multiple ways you can look at this. Did he step down? Did he retire? Did he quit? A lot of people said he retired. There was no retirement. There was no, like, I'm never going to coach again speech. There was a lot. There was a lot to digest in his post-goodbye speech to the Saints yesterday. And that's where I'm interested to dive into some of the things that he said. First of all, there's options, right? There's options for this guy to do what he wants to do. There's rumors that Troy Aikman might actually leave Joe Buck and go to Amazon to work with potentially Al Michaels as the Amazon crew for Thursday Night Football, right? So that could be a thing, meaning that opens up a spot next to Joe Buck, meaning Sean Payton might get a boatload of money to go join Joe Buck, right? And who knows what that could be? It can't be any worse than what Aikman and Buck brought, you know what I mean? So Sean Payton knows the game.
I would say it might be better. I think come around a little bit on Joe Buck. Since I've been doing podcasting on a daily basis, I start to understand how hard it is to just talk. And when you start critiquing these guys for what they're saying and understand that it's their job to literally talk, it's hard. So Joe Buck is good at what he does. Troy Aikman, however, I don't believe Troy Aikman's that good at what he does. I think that we'll be in for a treat with Sean Payton, hopefully. And I hope that is what happens.
Well, there's options. Now, he is officially under contract with the New Orleans Saints through 2023. So this year and in the entire year of next year. So if you want him to coach your team, the Saints are going to fleece you. The Saints are going to try to get some compensation for him. So the team that was immediately linked to Sean Payton is my Dallas Cowboys. And that is an actual thing. It has legs. It had legs. According to Mike Florio, which again, take it with a grain of salt, because I think Florio just likes to hear himself talk and likes people to read his own shit, no matter how credible he thinks he might be for Pro Football Talk, right? So Florio puts out these memoirs almost. He's calling them essays, things that he wanted to release, but because they didn't happen, he didn't release them. So now they're being released. There is a story about New Orleans that baffles me. And if you haven't heard this story yet, buckle up, because it's a treat, okay? So the owner of the New Orleans Pelicans is the same owner as the New Orleans Saints. So therefore, that owner owns two teams. What's her? It's a girl, right? It's a woman?
Yeah, Gail Benson, I think.
Benson, I think. I could be completely wrong on that, and I don't want to mess that up.
It's definitely Benson. It might not be Gail.
Okay, fine. So anyway, that family owns both teams. In 2019, according to Florio's article, the Dallas Cowboys had an agreement set and done and delivered to New Orleans Saints for a trade to get Sean Payton to coach before they brought back Garrett for the 2019 season. The trade was done, basically, right? The only reason why it didn't happen is because there is a guy with a unibrow over in New Orleans named Anthony Davis. Davis was traded to the Lakers. As soon as that happened, in that moment, the family, the Saints family said, whoa, wait, hold on. We're about to lose Anthony Davis out of New Orleans and Sean Payton. This can't happen. They nixed the whole thing, which is mind-numbing to me because I had to sit through Garrett again, and they had a in place.
I call bullshit on it because I just don't think the way reporting is done is that when you have a story like that, how come it took 3 years for it to come out on the day that, you know, Mike Florio isn't exactly the type of guy that's going to sit on a story. He's a piece of shit, and he'll say anything that
he gets true.
That has legs. And he would have loved to have made it seem like there was an issue in New Orleans and they were going to trade away their head coach, which at the time, looking at the season that it was in 2019, were the Saints in a position to really move on from their head coach?
I think they were
in win now mode.
I think it was Peyton with the, you know, there was, even our friend Craig, right? When this rumor started about Peyton leaving this year, he goes, same shit, different year. Meaning, this has been rumored year after year after year, will Peyton come back? You know, I'm done.
Rumored that he might leave is different than them saying that there's a trade agreed to in principle that they backed off of and that never getting out. I just don't see that as possible. I do think maybe that there was talks and maybe other teams reached out, but I don't know that there was like this thing where,
so
I'm going to say, I don't believe it.
I do want to also talk about his exit interview. Okay. His exit press conference where he was reminiscing about all the great memories that he made in New Orleans, right? He talked about the surprise onside kick the year they won the Super Bowl, right? And all these miraculous things that one night after Hurricane Katrina, you know, like all these things. He's talking about them, right? He made sure to reference that the worst feeling he's ever felt was in 2005. Gooch, what happened in 2005?
The Packers hired Mike McCarthy.
The Packers hired Mike McCarthy instead of Sean Payton. That happened, ladies and gentlemen. That actually happened. And it gutted Payton, and he said it stuck with him.
Do you know who else it gutted?
You. Packer fans. Packers. Everywhere.
The Packers.
The Packers.
Yeah, could you imagine Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre and then Aaron Rodgers with Sean Payton instead of Mike McCarthy?
Right.
Not that Sean Payton really did all that much in New Orleans. I don't know that he's...
In reality, I said this last night in the Boggin' the Boys roundtable, too, because I was sitting there like, McCarthy had a Hall of Fame quarterback, and so did Sean Payton.
The offenses were so much better, though.
The difference is Sean Payton saved the Saints, because before that, the Saints were the Aints, right? There nobody talked about the Saints. Sean Payton comes in, he gets Drew Brees out of San Diego, right? Like that whole thing happens, and then the rest is history. They've had an offense that was prolific forever. My dad even makes jokes like, dude, when the Saints wear black at home, they're faster, right? Like the Saints offense was that good under Sean Payton. Now, the reason why I bring this up is because, look, you know, why take that? Why even go back that far? Is Sean Payton about to say, you know, that one time I was gutted, but it's okay because 17 years later, I'm going to take Mike McCarthy's job.
I don't believe it. Well, I will, because I gave you ample opportunity to walk back on this. And as soon as I told you the news about Sean Payton, because I looked up at you, I said, Sean Payton's out in New Orleans. And you were like...
Which, by the way, you got the notification 4 seconds before I did.
Your initial reaction, and I read it all over your face, was, well, how could we work this out? How could we get Sean Payton in Dallas? And that was on the heels of you saying the day before that Sean Payton is Mike McCarthy a Jace.
True.
You will walk back on that now, will you?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you would rather...
I'm moonwalking.
Yeah, but, you know but I mean? Will. Like, but I will is... say this. I will say this. John Gruden, when you were texting Craig, he was like, okay, give us a one or something. And then I was like, oh, that's a little steep for a coach. And then I looked at the John Gruden trade with the Bucks and the Raiders, and he got two ones and two twos and like $8 million. So I don't think the Dallas Cowboys are in a position right now. Do they even have the draft capital like that to give up? They do, I'm sure.
The Cowboys? I mean, they hold the 24th overall pick.
All right. So in other words, like they don't have anyone else's pick. They don't owe anybody their pick. Right, they have their picks, and
all their picks are theirs.
So I guess they do have the draft capital, but
they might have one additional pick from the Eagles from the Micah Parsons.
Is Sean Payton gonna fix what they need fixed? Maybe, right?
Maybe,
but not at that cost. I don't think, because then there's gonna present other issues.
I bring this up to you. Let's just say Matt LaFleur, I'm done. I don't want to coach here anymore. Hypothetical, and Sean Payton's available via trade. What's the compensation you're willing to give for a coach like that if you had no coach in place?
Honestly, nothing.
Zero.
I'll pay him his contract, but I just don't believe in trading players or potential players that play the football game.
Draft capital.
Yeah, for a head coach, because there's plenty of solid candidates out there. It's like, do an interview, go through your process, and hire the right guy. If you have a good GM in place, which according to the Saints fans, they believe that their GM is the bee's knees, but they're clearly in the worst cap hell out of any team in the league. I know everybody talks about the Taysom Hill contract, but he's definitely getting cut this year. I don't care what anybody says, because none of that money is guaranteed.
Oh, and shout out to the Saints being $71 million over the cap.
Yeah, but I think Taysom Hill getting cut will reduce that by like $40
million. Yeah, because he has got that weird, just so there's some weird, contract.
There's some weird language in that contract where I believe that the Saints structured it where it's, it goes up to possibly $40 million if he takes most of his snaps at quarterback. He didn't do that, so I think it's a lot less. It's weird, that whole language, which is why the Saints GM, it gets lauded as a creative guy, and you wonder, like, well, they've been in cap hell for 3 years, but they keep on...
They're I always in the say mix. That to Craig. I'm like,
they're in the mix.
Good luck in free agency. And he's like, no, trust Ram, me, it's going to work.
Well, they, free agency, they've been largely absent. But what happens is if there's a player available for trade or something like that, they figure out ways to be in the mix on that. The Rams and the Saints have largely proven that the NFL salary cap is a myth.
I think we could all agree to that. I agree.
It's just
about
how you manipulate it. And some teams are more willing with their ownership to pony up some cash. But if I'm making my prediction right here, I think Kyle in the comments said Sean Payton looks like he's burnt out. To me, if you look at Sean Payton, he looked like he aged 10 years over the last five. NFL coaching will do that to you. While he's leaving $45 million on the table, there better be at least $45 million on another table, right? And I imagine that there is if he's going to go to Fox, because they pay big money to these guys, especially with the personality and the acumen that he brings to the table. And the fact that there's a job in waiting next to Joe Buck proves to me that they're looking at him as a real legitimate guy that they're willing to spend some money on. You could imagine that he's going to get $10 million a year over 5 or 6 years to go call football games. And to me, making $60 million over 6 years or whatever the case might be, without the stress and having some fun and being involved in the game and still having a household name, where he could definitely go back into coaching whenever he decides.
All right, go ahead.
And if Sean Payton wants to go to a team, why would he want to go to a team that has to give up all their draft capital to get him?
Because then he won't have it.
It's just counterproductive. I never understood that. So
I'll make my prediction as to what I think Sean Payton, what's going to happen with Sean Payton. So he'll go to the booth this year. He will. He'll go next to Joe Buck or wherever. He'll go talk football for a year. He'll miss the coaching. He'll want to come back. The Dallas Cowboys will have Mike McCarthy, and they will have Kellen Moore, okay? Because Kellen Moore apparently has fallen out of favor with every single opportunity that's out there. Rightfully so, because of what we saw in the last couple weeks.
And he probably did shitty interviews, too.
Possibly. And he's young. Like, there could, look. Somebody who's been in football for 20 years is going to do a better interview than somebody that's been in football for five, right? That's just math, right? But what I'm saying is this. This is what's going to happen. In typical Dallas Cowboys form, the Dallas Cowboys next year are going to go into the season with obviously a new DC, because Dan Quinn's either going to be a Bear or a Bronco. That's going to happen, right? We're going to lose Dan Quinn. That sucks, right? And we'll get maybe we'll get Mike Zimmer. Who knows? Fangio. I don't know. Who cares? We'll figure that out. Here's the prediction. The Dallas Cowboys get off to a very, very, very piss-poor start next year, okay, where they'll be, I don't know, 2-4, 2-5, right? And the season's going to look like, holy shit, McCarthy definitely doesn't have this team. McCarthy's fired midway through the year, and Kellen Moore takes over as interim coach. Then the Dallas Cowboys go on a run. Right, not a run like to the Super Bowl. Run where they finish like 10-7.
Fast forward to 2037. Kellen Moore is in his 12th year, and Cowboy fans are like, "How could you still have this guy as your head coach?"
Even worse than that. Kellen Moore is going to coach them up right to the end of the year. We're going to fall short in a big game, but then here's the question: do you retain Kellen Moore, or do you go get Sean Payton? That's what we're going to be talking about next year, this time. Guaranteed.
The answer to your question is no, you do not retain Kellen Moore, and no, you do not go after Sean Payton.
Oh, okay, cool. So we'll just, nobody will coach.
You got to hire a new coach. And it's not going to be Sean Payton. I just don't see that as a realistic thing. No team is going to do that. No team is
Scoop asked me if I dreamed about
team,
it.
No coach much. Is that valuable. Because the ones that are on the wrong side of 70 or 65, and the ones that aren't are in a situation, or like the guys like Matt LaFleur, or they just haven't done enough to warrant a two picks. I just don't see a coach being worth that.
Obviously next year I don't think the price tag will be as high to obtain Sean Payton is what I'm saying. Right now, if you want to get him right now and he wants to coach in a league, the Saints will fleece him. Next year, maybe not so much, right? And only because it's a year removed, and they're just gonna be like, oh, cool, give us a two. Just whatever. He could be yours, right?
I mean, that's speculation.
Of course. And that's what we're doing.
All this whole
here.
Thing is speculation.
Right, exactly.
Anyway,
nobody actually knows.
I don't know,
but I'm very
I don't
tired.
Know the price tag is going to go down.
I don't want Kyle's coming in, and Kyle's like, he's the worst Cowboys fan that I know, actually. Because, he's very analytical. He's very in the numbers. That's what he has to do. It's his business, right? But, like, for him to call Sean Payton a washed coach, yes, does he look tired? Yeah. Give me a year off.
I don't believe Sean Payton. He's necessarily washed. I think that the message ran dry in New Orleans, and it was time. And I think that's probably what's best for them right now. Because they're in cap hell, and what's Sean Payton going to go do?
Is JD saying John that? Gruden for the Cowboys.
Jameis Winston's a free agent. They can't even sign him, right? And he's coming off of an ACL anyway, but he looks like he's going to be ready to go.
Jameis?
Yeah.
Him and his workout plan.
It was like 3 weeks removed from ACL surgery, and this guy's doing legitimate lateral movement drills. That's speaks to his work ethic, so more people should maybe do these things.
And to Kyle's point, saying, you know, what has he done? Like, yes, the NFL is a very what have you done for me lately business, and I totally understand that, which is why I'm so fast to say bye-bye, Mike McCarthy, if you lost the locker room.
I think case in point is you saw John Gruden get a $100 million contract from the Raiders.
Well, he hasn't done anything,
but he also hasn't done anything lately. But that's still, you know, there's these owners. You have to think these owners; they're not really that smart. They're the same age of the people that just didn't vote in Barry Bond. You know, like these guys are a little different too, the way they think. So, you know, unless you have some forward thinking things happening in your building, you're not making the right decisions. And clearly, a lot of teams are inept at making decisions.
But what I'm saying is, to Kyle's point, the what have you done for me lately type business, and he says that the Saints haven't done much in the last 2 years. Well, let me remind you something, Kyle, and anybody else who thinks that the Saints all of a sudden are just washed team, right? There was a guy that entered your division 2 years ago that changed the game for the entire NFC South, and that was a guy named Tom Brady. So that's what happened. The Tampa Bay Bucks got good. I also think the Saints
are 4-0 against Tampa Bay.
But I'm saying in the regular season.
0-1 in the playoffs, but 4-0 in the regular season. And yeah, Drew Brees held that team hostage last year. The Taysom Hill experiment, I don't know what the fuck that was. I guess that's on Sean Payton partially.
Yeah, because he wanted him. That was his guy.
But at the end of the day, you know, Taysom Hill was in camp and you're paying him all that money, and then you got Jameis Winston and he gets the job. And I think that was the right move because you kind of saw Jameis Winston was the better player. He gave them a chance. I think they're a clear playoff team if Jameis Winston doesn't get hurt. I will say that on record. But you know, right now, as you look forward with the Saints, they're $70 million in cap hell, and they don't have a legitimate quarterback on the roster. So Sean Payton's looking at it, and he's like, yeah, no, I'm out.
Somebody must have said something about Matt Campbell, because now they're firing back Kyle Toast and Grasso. Everybody's all over Matt Campbell to be, I guess, the next head coach of the Cowboys, too. I don't know. I didn't see it. Sometimes these comments come flying in, and you just miss a couple. But I think
they're talking about the guy from Iowa State.
Yes.
Yeah, not...
Which and Toast made a phenomenally funny thing. He's like, now he's going to go lead the Cowboys. Are you talking Dallas or Oklahoma State? You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not ready. But the coaching search, obviously, look, the Dallas Cowboys don't need a coach right now. Technically, yes, by rule. Yeah, I think they need a coach. But, like, the position has been filled. You know what I mean? Like, there's somebody in that seat. But what I'm saying when it comes to Sean Payton, I think it'll be interesting.
I also don't think that Sean Payton is like, he might feel gutted about that, but I don't think it's towards Mike McCarthy. And I don't think that he's as big of a piece of shit as some guys would be calling for the job that is right now filled already with somebody that you probably respect. They've coached against each other many times. They were interviewed for the same job in Green Bay.
Football's a cutthroat business.
I understand. But when you're talking about coaches, like, it's not like he's looking for his first opportunity here. You know, these guys have been tenured for a long time. They've been in the league for a while. They probably know each other fairly well. I just don't think that he would maybe take the job if McCarthy was fired. But the process in which these things are happening, I don't think that he meant those comments to be taken the way you're maybe trying to. I wouldn't say you're spinning. You're just speculating.
Yeah, no. Yeah. And the way I see it is this. Like, right now, if all goes to chalk and Payton goes to TV and Mike McCarthy is the coach of the Cowboys this year, he's a lame duck, man. He screws up. Peyton's in. That's done.
Do you know who would be so bad on TV?
Mike McCarthy.
Oh, he's the worst. God.
I can't. I only watch his press conferences for like the stuff that I need to know.
He's so bad on TV that he made Hard Knocks unwatchable. Literally unwatchable. What was his mojo moment this year?
The mojo moment was losing to the 49ers. Oh, my God. If you want more Cowboys talk, be sure to tune into the Jersey Boys podcast with nationally known comedian star of Cobra Kai, Brett Ernst, and his brother Keith. Not downplaying Keith, but Keith's actually almost just as funny, if not funnier, than Brett. But, yeah, that's just – whew. Anyway, it's a lot. It's a lot. So, obviously, today we touched on a bunch of stuff. But is there anything else I'm missing that we said we wanted to touch on? Probably not. Not today, right? Like – we're good.
Yeah, I think we're good.
We're good. There's a lot of stuff going on. Obviously, the NFC and AFC title game. We're going to dive deep into those games tomorrow. And then on Lean Friday with Kyle Kerms, when he gets back into studio, we'll make our official picks. We'll basically say who's going to the Super Bowl, which is crazy. When you think about it, the offseason will be here before you know it. It's already here for me and Gooch. And look, these are the things. Now, all of a sudden, Gooch has to deal with the Rodgers stuff. I got to deal with the Sean Payton stuff. So there's always something with something. Like, there's never a nice little into the sunset. Let's not talk football.
I think a lot of the Sean Payton stuff is maybe you choosing to deal with it, and Cowboy fans in general choosing to deal with it.
No.
The media is going to hammer home the Rodgers thing like brutally all off season. Sean Payton, it's nice to be linked to a head coach. That's like not. I'd be like, all right, cool. You know, I want Mike McCarthy out. So the more things that are linking a new head coach to my team, I'd be all for it. I'd be like, yeah, let's do it. Let's go. As long as it means he's gone. But with the Aaron Rodgers things, it's such a brutal situation because you know when you're watching the interviews with the Pat McAfee show, it's like you know where Rodgers is coming from, and anything that's said by anybody else is bullshit because he just doesn't talk to these guys. So it's all speculation and all false. Anyway,
well, no, but right, real quick, you remember? I think he made the point. I was in the bathroom, and you were telling me that he said something about like if somebody like James Jones says something. Listen to him.
He was like, I mess with the media all the time, and he's like, and I do leak things. He's like, but if I'm leaking it, it's going to be to my boys that I know have my back. So he's like, if you hear James Jones say something and he thinks this or he thinks that,
same
you
should
probably take that as gospel. All
right,
right. And when he's sure, like, I know funny. That pisses off the Adam Schefters of the world, but you know,
sources have said like, I can't get inside he's like, of
who are great at their job, and I think that was tongue in cheek because I know that he has very little respect for those guys.
Well, in any event. This has been another jam-packed episode. Just as we walked out yesterday, I said, well, all right, we'll have to come up with stuff to talk about. And then, bink, 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 sports are amazing. Because this is what we do here at Chop Sports. So if you're watching this video, please give it a like and subscribe to the channel. We got goals here, folks. We got some serious goals. I put out a reel on my Chop Sports Instagram account. And Gooch, shout out to him, tirelessly working to make this place look awesome because we're soundproofed the hell out of the right side of the room. We got the bricks. We got a table coming. My Uncle Billy's making us a nice custom table. It's going to be a whole new look for the Chop Sports Podcast and the show. So for Sturch and Gooch, and of course, thank you to Dina behind the glass, and thank you to Anthony for sitting there quietly and patiently as we go on. He's doing our – go follow us on LinkedIn, by the way. Anthony's doing work on LinkedIn right now, so there's other ways to follow and support Chop Sports. So thank you guys for watching. We'll see you guys on a Thursday.
I apologize for leaving Sammy Sosa off the graphic. I just didn't know if anyone would recognize him because it was from his playing days, and he's now –